You're listening to the Church on the Move Roswell podcast. We hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's check it out.
Listen, you know, I started this series on the spirit of faith. I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures tonight. Just going to roll through a lot of scriptures one after another and talk a little bit about them. But, you know, this thing about the spirit of faith, I want to teach you something just real fast before we get into the word. But there's in the Bible, it talks about the word of faith. It talks about the law of faith. And it talks about the spirit of faith. There's a lot of things written about faith because it's impossible to please God without faith. You can't get saved without faith. We get saved by faith through grace. And so our faith in God's grace, his goodness, is how we get saved. I mean, you can't even go to heaven without faith. And so it's so vital that we understand it. But there's a big difference between the law of faith and the word of faith and the spirit of faith. The law of faith and the word of faith can be taught. It can be taught. I can teach you that. Someone can teach you that. You can teach yourself that. The law of faith, the word of faith. But the spirit of faith, it seems like, and I've heard this taught for many, many years by many, many pastors. I mean, they've been teaching this for 50, 60 years. But I believe it's true that the spirit of faith must be caught. And what do I mean by that? It's like when you get around people that are really complainers and gripers and negative, if you hang around them long enough, you'll start becoming a griper, complainer, and negative. If you hang around people that are really happy all the time and joking around, it's amazing how if you hang around them long enough, you'll be joking around and you'll be happy or you'll leave, you know, one of the two. But you get around an atmosphere of people, and if you hang in that atmosphere long enough, you kind of catch the atmosphere of the people you're around. It's like catching a cold. You know, I always warn people. The Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. And so what's that mean? It means that if I have the flu and you're healthy, you don't breathe on me and I get healthy. I breathe on you, you get the flu. That grossed you out? That really grossed you out, didn't it? That's gross. It's kind of gross. But yeah, you catch a cold from somebody, you catch a virus from somebody, you catch it from them. You hang around them, they breathe on you. That's the same way as the spirit of faith. You hang around people with a spirit of faith, they start breathing that spirit of faith on you. Next thing you know, you caught the spirit of faith. And now you have the spirit of faith. It's real important who you hang around with. Super important who you hang around with. The story of the spies in the Bible is vital to understanding the spirit of faith. And I started this whole teaching with this scripture, Numbers 14, verse 24. We're going to put it up on the screen. It says this, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." You know, almost, they don't know, 1 million to 3 million Jews. Some people say 2 million. Some people say 1 million. Some people say 3 million. But we know it was 1 million plus Jews were there. And Caleb was the only one that stood up and quieted the people and said, "We can do it." He had a spirit of faith. Out of all the other spies that came, they gave an evil report. They said, "It is a land flowing with milk and honey. There is great stuff happening. The promise of God is real, but we are not able to get the promise." Caleb said, "We're able. We're able to get the promise. God promised it. Let's go get it." And they all went around. After that thing with among the people, when all the people heard it, then all the rest of the spies and the people with them that knew them, their family members, their wives, their kids, they all went around to different groups saying, "We can't do it. We can't do it. We can't risk that. We'll get killed. We can't do it. We can't do it." And they spread this spirit of doubt, fear, anxiety, worry, anger, frustration. They start spreading a different spirit. And they bought it. The people bought it. So God said, "Okay, You guys aren't making it, but Caleb, and I'm taking Joshua too. Joshua, who's a servant of Moses, I'm taking you two, and you two and your families are going to lead the way into the promises of God because you have a different spirit on you. What spirit was it? The spirit of faith. The spirit of faith says, with God, all things are possible, man. And the spirit of doubt says, oh, I don't think so. The spirit of doubt will even say, I know God can do it. I just don't think he'll do it for us. I know God can do it, but he won't do it for me. I know God can do it. I know he can. I just don't believe he will. The spirit of faith says, not only can he will. There's a difference. The spirit of faith is different. And you'll be different when you have a spirit of faith. People will know you're different. You'll have a different atmosphere around you. And then what happened was all these people with this spirit of doubt that doubted God and doubted his word and doubted God's ability to help them, they all died they walked in circles and died in the wilderness. And man, unfortunately, these are his people. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that are walking around in the same old, same old, same old, same old, same old, same old thing, not getting a lot of victories and not walking in the promises of God. He's still providing. You're making it. You're surviving. You're getting by. You're looking forward to heaven. But you're not walking in the promises of God on earth. God wants us to walk in those promises. He said, I want you to be a light to this world. You know what kind of grieves me, guys, is I see these billionaires. Big George Soros is spreading evil all around the world. I see billionaires in all the tech industry. They're spreading evil all around the world. I see the Hobby Lobby children, two of them. Man, they're not like Daddy who loved Jesus. They're not like Daddy at all. They've bought into the culture of the world, and now they're using their millions. They're the ones behind the He Gets Us Stuff campaign. I see people compromising and compromising. Man, from Hobby Lobby to Home Depot to Chick-fil-A, the second generation of their children don't love Jesus, don't love God. They don't believe in the Word of God, and they're doing all kinds. They're using their wealth for all kinds of evil. I wonder, where are the billionaires at that love Jesus, that are running campaigns, ad campaigns about who the real Jesus is? I'm going to show you a commercial about He Gets Us on Sunday the way it should have been done. There's one that did it the way it should have been done, not the way it's done on. Guys, you have to understand, there's so much deception in those deals. There's so much deception. I mean, guys, just this weekend at the Super Bowl, did anybody watch what Ice Spice did, who was sitting next to Taylor Swift? The upside down cross, the signals of Satan. Just Google it. It's all over. It's all over. Guys, Satan has invaded the world, and he's got his people are thriving, and they're, as far as thriving on the outside, not on the inside. And guys, because they are, man, they're financing evil all around the world, all over our nation. Because God's people haven't caught the spirit of faith and said, hold on a second. God told us to occupy until he comes. He told us we're the head, not the tail. He told us we're above and not beneath. We're the ones that should be occupying. We're the ones should be leading. But I see Christian after Christian saying, man, I don't want to get involved in the mess of politics. Man, guys, it's not politics that we need Christians involved in. That's the ugly part. We need Christians involved in government. We need public servants, not politicians. But it's going to be ugly. It's ugly to get in that. You have to get in there. It gets messy. It's ugly. It's full of ugliness. You have to get in there and just fight. We need more of the children of God to rise up with the spirit of faith and say, I believe in the promises of God in the future and now. And I'm claiming his promises. Go ahead and put up on the screen 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I... Come on. I believed and therefore I
spoke.
We also believe and therefore
speak.
Man, God is always talking about that if you what you believe in your heart should be coming out of your mouth. And that the power of God's word is in the spoken word. The spoken word. The written word was designed to come off the pages, go inside of us, into our hearts, where faith is, where faith is stored, where faith grows, and then come out of our mouths. God didn't say, it is written, be light, and then there was light. What does it say? And he said, he spoke. He spoke. The word that God speaks through us or to us must be spoken through us with a spirit of faith, believing that what God said is true. We know Mark 11 says it. It says we need to have the God kind of faith, the same kind of God gave us. Oh, God gave us a measure of faith. We're going to look at that scripture in just a moment. He gave every person that's believed on Jesus a measure of faith. They gave him a piece of his faith, and he said, man, if you believe in your heart and say to your mouth, move this mountain, it will be moved. It's not enough to have a couple people with a spirit of faith. God's trying to stir up his whole body to have a spirit of faith. So that the right hand and the left hand both have a spirit of faith. They're working together. The left eye and the right eye, the left foot and the right foot, the kidney and the liver. Oh, man, all have a spirit of faith about them. So the body of Christ is moving as one. Advancing God's kingdom. Receiving the blessings of our Father and dishing them out to a lost and deceived world. I think right now, man, we need the spirit of faith. We need it badly. We need the spirit of truth and the spirit of faith. Right now. I believe he put it in my heart to teach it right now for this purpose. Now, I taught that, guys, we have a womb called our heart. We have a soil inside of us that was designed to grow things. God gave it to every person. It's designed to grow things. Now listen to this. Go with me to Matthew 13, verses 18 through 23. It says this. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Where was it sown? That's the soil. That's the womb. That's the place where it's supposed to grow. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. So, I just know this happens, that I can teach on any subject in here. And, man, some of you will walk out and go, man, I got it. And you'll go home, and the next day when life starts happening, you won't lose it. You received it in the soil of your heart. I mean, you got it. It's growing. It's growing. Others, you'll be excited about it. But man, it seems like as soon as one thing happens in the car on the drive home, you'll lose it. Man, God doesn't want that to happen. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And sometimes we think of stealing as him stealing stuff or whatever. No, man, he'll steal the word. It says he comes, the wicked one comes to snatch it, to steal it away from you. He wants to immediately come and get you. So he'll come and say, yeah, your car doesn't start. There you go. There's that spirit of faith for you. The next day, your water heater will break. You wake up in the middle of the night and the water's leaking. And you'll go, crap. I don't have a spirit of faith. God doesn't care about me. He'll come immediately and try to steal the word of God from you. He knows that if it takes root inside of you, it will produce something really good. Not just for you, but number one, for God's kingdom, and then for you, and then for the others. It's never just for us. It's to glorify God and bless others around us. It's always to share. And so then he goes on to say the next verse, but he who received the seed on stony places, the seed again is the word of God. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Next verse. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word. You notice they're intermingling seed and word? Do you remember I taught about that when a man and a woman are intimate, the husband sows a seed and it produces something in the womb? Well, Jesus is the husband and we're the bride, and he has a seed. The seed is the word of God that he wants produced in the hearts and soil of his people. And so the seed and the word are the same thing. He said, immediately he stumbles. Next verse. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness. Notice it says not just the cares of the world, but the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Man, pursuit, the cares of this world, just caring about what the world cares about. I've seen more Christians fall right now. Famous people that at one time were advancing the kingdom of God at high levels. I've seen them. They're caught up in this. They care more about what the world thinks of them than they do about what God thinks of them. They care more about what they're going to get out of this life than they do the next life. And then they are deceived by money. Money has deceived them. Do you know, guys, that if every person who called themselves a Christian tithe, I think it's $43 trillion. I looked it up before. I could be wrong on this, but I think it's $43 trillion more that the body of Christ would have. There wouldn't be anybody that would not be touched by us. But people don't have a spirit of faith. There shouldn't be a thing out here in our community that we should not be touching with our labor, our time, our talents, our gifts. There should not be any need in our community that's holy, that's good, a good thing that we should be meeting, that we should not be capable of sowing into, and not just serving, but leading the way. There shouldn't be a ministry one that we shouldn't have leaders in our church leading. I'm not talking about the pastoral staff. I'm talking about the people attending the church. But you have to have a spirit of faith about you. It has to be, you have to be contagious. That man, people start hanging around you and they kept the spirit of faith from you because you're contagious. The spirit of faith in you and on you is contagious. And they get it too. God wants us all to catch the spirit of faith. He wants us to have the spirit of faith virus. Man, that starts producing good things, man. That we're a light on the top of a hill for all to see, every good work we do. And he gets all the glory and all the credit because we know without him it's impossible for us to do it. And even if we could do it, we'd do it with a wrong heart. But with him, we can do it. We can do the right things for the right reasons, the right way, and help people. Care for people. Touch lives. I like this last part. Go to the last part. Man, I like this. But he who received the seed, here we go, the seed and the word in exchange, on the good ground, we're the good ground. The ground is our heart, our soil, our womb, a place designed by God for things to grow inside of us, is he who hears the word and understands it. Otherwise, they don't just hear it. They catch it. They catch the meaning of it. And they grab a hold of it. And they don't just grab a hold of it intellectually. They grab a hold of it in their heart like, okay, I got the spirit of faith. I've caught it. I've got it. Who understands it? Who indeed bears what fruit? Bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold return. Wow. 100, 60, and 30-fold. So that means multiplied. That means multiplied. That word multiplies 30, 60, and 100 out of you. So that means each person in this room that calls Jesus Christ as Lord, you should lead at least 30 people to Christ personally. If you have a spirit of faith, you should start praying, God, I should at least lead 30 people to Christ. Put me across their path. I want to lead at least 30 people. And once I lead 30, Lord, you said I could go to 60. Then I'll lead 60 to Christ. Once I get to 60, Lord, I'll start clocking down to 100. Can you imagine if everyone in this room that calls Jesus Christ Lord, you personally led and brought 100 people from this valley to church, that you'd already led them to Jesus Christ, they were ready to go when they show up here. Woo, what we could do. What we could do together would be amazing. But people with a spirit of faith, you know, I remember my first year in full-time ministry, I got an office, and I really enjoyed what I did in business, so what I was doing in ministry wasn't as glamorous. I was cleaning up kids' throw-up, and seriously, some kid would come in there and clog the toilet every week, and we were on a septic system at that church. I had to go unclog it and clean the mess up. It's almost every Sunday. I wanted to kick him right in the booty, man. I said, boy, quit using our bathroom. I'm tired of cleaning up after you. But, I mean, it wasn't real glamorous, and I'm doing all that, and I'm sitting in my office. I said, Lord, you know what? I'm willing to do whatever you ask of me. That's what I said I'd do, and you put me to the test. I went from being the boss to the janitor. And you know what? I'm like, okay, if that's what you want me to do. I wasn't happy about it a lot of the times, but I finally got happy. And then I said, but I tell you this, this is what I want in return. I said, I want 1 million souls. You saved me. I want to tell 1 million people about Jesus that actually get saved. I mean, they genuinely go to heaven with me. That's what I asked him for. Why? Because I caught a spirit of faith, man, that, woo, come on, God, you're bigger than that. You're bigger than 30, 60, and 100. And so God wants to multiply at least 30-fold. At least 30-fold. So, man, if God's given you, if you have the joy of the Lord inside of you, then there should be at least 30 people that you get around that you teach about the joy of the Lord. Man, that's awful quiet in here, man. Okay, let me make a list. Susie, Sam, Tommy, I got to get after these people. Where's 30 lost people at, Lord? You'll go to Walmart. You'll find at least 30. You could lead hundreds to Christ at Walmart. Seriously. It's funny, but you know it's true. That's why it's funny. And so God says this seed, the word, is the seed that when we become intimate with him and we grow in the knowledge of him, that there's going to be an intimacy, and the seed of the word is going to be implanted in our heart, and we're going to start producing. We're going to start producing. So ladies, if you really had a spirit of faith, and your husbands, you guys would have at least 30 kids. All the women said, get behind me, Satan. All the men said, Dad, I'm not raising 30 kids. That's a joke, guys. That's a joke. But we're supposed to be producing. And the Bible says everything produces after its kind. What kind are you? What kind are you? Because you're producing after your kind. Oranges, oranges. Alfalfa, alfalfa. You know, watermelons, watermelons, giraffes, giraffes, dogs, dogs. We produce after our kind. What are we producing around us? What are we producing? What's the atmosphere that's around us? He said, I'm not going to, don't put this up on the screen, but he said in Proverbs 18, 20, 21, he said, that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and that whatever you speak, you'll eat. So he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So he says, what you let in your heart that comes out of your mouth, whether for life or death, good or evil, you're going to eat the fruit of that. So when you think about your words, what you have spoken, what fruit are you eating? Because what we allow to be planted in here is what's going to manifest out here. And it's for life or death. And so that's why I'm talking about the spirit of faith. I'm just going to run through some scriptures real fast for you, because we got to get to the last five things, characteristics of the spirit of faith. But we're going to run through a lot of scriptures real quick. Hebrews 11:6. Just want to talk just some scriptures on faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. We're not pleasing without faith to God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. who he says he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who, this is the key, diligently seek him. A lot of people translate that word sincerely, faithfully, consistently, hungrily. It's got a dynamic, it's got a dynamic to it that's real consistent. We consistently seek him. Next thing, 2 Corinthians. I put my glass, there it is, 5:7. For we walk by, not by sight. So every step we take, we should be walking by faith. Should be a spirit of faith about everything we do. A step is the smallest movement, increment of movement for mankind is a step. And so he's saying even in the little things, we should have a spirit of faith. Next verse, 1 John 5:4. He said, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So if you're born again, we're designed to overcome the world. It don't overcome us, we overcome it. Amen? Then he says this, this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith overcomes the world. Like I said, man, there's so many crazy things happening in our world right now. So many deceptions and lies in our world right now. And that's going to grow with AI. It's going to grow as the satanic movement's moving across our nation and a lot of the people in power and authority and entertainment industry. So the only way you're going to be able to overcome the world is with faith. That's why I'm teaching on it. We need faith. We need to have a spirit of faith about us. Next verse, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We live by faith in Jesus. That if he would die, come from heaven to earth, die for our sins, that he was raised from the dead, that he's the Lord of lords and King of kings, that the universe is his throne and the earth is his footstool. That's who we serve. That's who we love. That's who we have faith in, is Jesus Christ the Lord. Next one, Romans 1:17. That's supposed to be 1:17. Can we get Romans 1:17? I wrote that real funky in my notes. Romans 1:17. There we go. Good job. Thank you. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Faith to faith. That means we grow. We go from faith to faith. And it is written, the just shall live by faith. Walk by faith. Live by faith. We save by faith through grace. Faith, faith, faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. We must believe that he's a rewarder, that he gives rewards of those who sincerely, diligently, consistently pursue him in faith. Man, faith, 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 faith. He wants us to not only know the law of faith and the word of faith, but he wants us to catch the spirit of faith, that we have it about every, all the little and all the big things in our life, that we have a spirit of faith. Man, and God can grow our faith. Romans 12:3, what does it say there? It says, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. That the wording in the Greek there means that God actually took a piece of faith from him. It didn't mean he became lesser. He is faith, and he put it in each person that was born again. That's why, man, guys, sometimes it's hard to relate to your family members that are unbelievers because they don't get you. You get them because you were once not saved, but they don't get you. They don't understand. This world doesn't understand us. They think we're crazy. They label us hateful, and they label us all kinds of things because they just flat out, they don't have a measure of faith, because until you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, you don't have a measure of faith. But once you do, God puts a measure of faith in you. He gives it to you. It's a gift from God. It says it in 2 Thessalonians 3:2. It says, in that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. That's the scripture I'm talking about. Why they don't get you is because they're unreasonable and they're wicked. So they'll never understand the spirit of faith on your life. They'll never get it. They can't get it. Next verse, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. When we received Jesus Christ as Lord, he gave us the gift of faith. He gave us the gift of faith. When we heard the word about Jesus, he's the one, the Spirit of God's the one that sowed a gift of faith in us and gave us an opportunity whether we wanted to believe it or not. Gave us the choice to believe it or not. Go to Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. So we know by one of those other scriptures that say we go from faith to faith, and this one, that after God gives us a measure of faith, we can grow it. We can go from faith to faith. We can grow stronger in faith, and the only way to do it is by hearing and hearing and feeding and feeding and listening and applying and speaking the word of God. There's no other way to get it. There's no other way to get to grow in faith other than by the word of faith, which is the word of God. Every word that proceeds out of his mouth. It should be our daily bread. Just like food we eat daily, the word of God we should eat daily. And quite frankly, you're better off missing lunch and reading your word every once in a while than catching lunch and not reading your word. Or catching breakfast. You're better off with, you know, eating a Pop-Tart on the way to work, man. And taking time to read your word than eating three Pop-Tarts. Or steak and eggs and then going to work and not reading your word. Because, man, food is good for the body. But only the word of God can heal and sow into the soul and the heart of a man. The heart of a person. Just like exercise is good. But it's not going to save you. Amen? There's going to be a lot of muscled up in shape people not making it to heaven because they gave their whole life to that. And I think it's really important that we take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I appreciate and value people that have the self-discipline to stay in great shape. But man, I've seen so many people put that before God. I'm just going to tell them all something. Someday you'll die. That body, I don't care how well you take care of it, it's going to wear out. And then there's heaven or hell. And that's more important. 10 characteristics of the spirit of faith. We talked about number one, faith is not living with our fingers crossed. It is a confidence in God. Number two, faith lives sacrificially. We got these all out of Hebrews 11. Number four, faith obeys in hard times. Number five, faith trusts God when we do not understand what's going on. Because sometimes all we see is the little picture. We don't see the big picture. So faith says, God, I know you see my past, my present, and my future. I don't understand, but I trust in you no matter what. Even when I don't understand. And that's the toughest part, is when you don't understand. When you don't understand is the toughest part. I don't understand why this is happening, why that's happening. You know what? Trust God anyway. Trust him anyway. That's trust him in the foxhole so he can trust you. That you'll do what's right no matter what happens, whether you understand or not. I don't know how many times I've told my children, hey, I don't have to explain the reason why, just go do this. Why? Because I don't want to take the time to explain the big picture. And sometimes they're not old enough to even understand the big picture. Because if you don't do that, then we can't do this, and we can't go on vacation, and we can't. I mean, I don't want to go through the whole thing. And they're like, well, I didn't even want to know all that. Just want to know why I got to go clean my room. Because I said so. Do they have to understand everything? No. And neither do we. We're his kids. What do we want our kids to do? Just trust me. I don't know how many times I've told my teenagers, man, I know you don't understand it. I know you want to be like these other kids that are staying the night all the time and they're doing this because I don't let my kids stay the night. I'll let them stay late, but I won't let them stay the night. Why? Because I know a lot of bad things have happened. And I trust people, but I don't trust anybody with my children but God and me and Julie and I. Period. period. They don't understand why I discouraged them from having girlfriends and boyfriends in elementary school. I don't want them practicing divorce and saying I love you in third grade and you stink in fourth grade. I don't want them saying I love you in fourth grade and fifth grade and sixth grade and seventh grade and eighth grade and ninth grade, 10th grade and 12th grade. And man, it's I love you, and then they break up, and then it's I hate you, and then it's all this I love you and I hate you. It's a pattern that sticks to people that leads to a lot of problems in their future relationships. So that's just me. That's Julie and I. We just discouraged it. Didn't mind if they went to prom. Didn't mind if they dated. I really didn't want them to say I love you, though. Wait till you're old enough to make that statement and mean it. Amen? But that's just us. And my kids would say, but I don't, I'm not like other kids, and I don't get to do, and they get to do it. I'm like, I know you don't understand, but you will. I had one of my kids just call me just 2 weeks ago and say, Dad, man, you said this stuff to me time and time again. I get it now. And I'm sorry I fought you. I'm sorry I bucked you. I completely understand now why you did it. What happens with us and God, if we just trust him even when we don't understand, there'll come a time we'll look back and go, oh, sorry, Father. Trust him when you don't understand. Number 6 is found in Hebrews chapter 10, or chapter 11, verse 10. It says this, 10 and 13, it says, his eyes of faith were set on the city with unshakable foundations, whose architect and builder is God himself. And then in verse 13, it says, these heroes all died still clinging to their faith, not even receiving all that had been promised them, but they saw beyond the horizon. They saw beyond the horizon the fulfillment of their promises and gladly embraced it from afar. They all lived their lives on earth as those who belong to another realm. What is number 6? Number 6 is this. We have to have an eternal compass, not an earthly one. We have to understand that the short lives we live here, eternity's forever, and eternity is more important. The treasures we store up in heaven are more important than the treasures we store up here. They're more important. We have to have, as Christians, an eternal compass, that this is about eternity. Yes, God cares about what's happening here. Yes, he wants to bless us here. Yes, he wants to partner with us and fulfill the mission that he created us for and the mission that he wants to accomplish in our lives and through us. But man, it's all about eternity. And sometimes we get so focused on what we do or do not have in this world, we forget the real purpose of life and the real thing that matters, and that is, where are we going to spend eternity? I've done many a funeral, and I'm telling you, the ones where the family cries, but they know their family member, they know without a shadow of a doubt their family member's in heaven, man, that's when you really get to focus on eternity. That's when you really find out where your hope is. And if you know they're in heaven, you might miss them here for the rest of your life, but there's still a joy in you. They made it. They made it. They're in the heaven. They made it. We need to have an eternal compass. And from that perspective too, we might not ever understand some of the things in this life. And we hope maybe he'll explain it to us in the next life. I think when we get to the next life, we won't care. All we'll care about is, did we make it, and did those we love make it? Did those we care about make it? I think that's all that's going to matter. I think a lot of stuff that's happened, like why this happened, and God, why this happened at my job, I don't think we'll even care anymore. Because then we'll know eternity is real. We should know it's real. That's what he's talking about. All the saints of old, all the prophets of old, they didn't live for this life. They lived for the eternal life. Number 7 is found in verse 11 and verse 19. It says this, Sarah's faith embraced God's miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing. For the authority of her faith, the authority of her faith. Check that out. The authority of her faith. Her faith rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness. Verse 19 says this: Abraham's faith made it logical to him that God could raise Isaac from the dead, and symbolically, that's exactly what happened. Let me say something to you about both these circumstances. Both these circumstances look impossible. But number 7 is this: faith believes God can do all things. Everything he said he'd do, faith believes it. God can overcome and change any situation in your favor. He promised it. I'll turn all things around for your good. But only for people that have these two characteristics, not everybody. Those who love him, genuinely love him. Not love what he does for them, but loves him. And called according to his purpose. Otherwise, you've answered the call of purpose on your life. That God, whatever you designed me to be, nurse, this, that, I've answered that call, and I'm doing it as unto you and not unto man. Number 8, verse 23 and 27, we're just about done. Says this: faith prompted the parents of Moses at his birth to hide him for 3 months because they realized their child was exceptional and they refused to be afraid of the king's edict. Verse 27, I love that. Holding faith's promise, Moses abandoned Egypt and had no fear of Pharaoh's rage because he persisted in faith as if he had seen God who is unseen. What is number 8? Faith fears God, not man. Faith fears God, not man. Faith doesn't fear what man can do to him. Faith fears God, not man. Let me say it again. Faith fears God. Not what people think about you. Not what people say about you. Not what your mama thinks. Not what your kids think. Not what your husband and wife thinks. You don't fear that. You fear God above all. And I'll say this. If you'll fear God and love God above all, then you'll be okay in all those other relationships. They'll all be right. Number 9, 25 and 26. Just real quick. We're going to knock them down. Choosing instead to suffer mistreatment with the people of God, Moses preferred faith's certainty above the momentary enjoyment of sin's pleasures. That's a good one. Verse 26, he found his true wealth. Everybody say true wealth. And suffering abuse for being anointed more than in anything the world could offer him. For his eyes looked with wonder, not on the immediate, but on the ultimate, faith's great reward. Number 9 is this. Faith doesn't run after temporary pleasures. Faith doesn't say, I'm going to enjoy this sin for a moment. No, faith says, I'm not going to enjoy that sin for a moment. I'm not seeking the pleasures of this world for even a moment because I have an eternal destiny. And I'll suffer the death of my flesh. I'll suffer what anybody else thinks or says or what people say I'm missing out on for the cause of Christ. For the eternal purposes of God in this life and the next. Wow. Last one, 35 and 38. This is it. Let me find it. Faith-filled women saw their dead children raised in resurrection power. Verse 38 says this. Says, they wandered the earth living in the desert wilderness in caves, on barren mountains and in holes in the earth. Truly, the world was not even worthy of them, not realizing who they were. Number 10 and the last one. Faith endures persecution for the sake of Christ. It does not seek persecution, but stands firm when it comes. Faith never, ever quits. Faith never quits. Faith does not give up. When others give up, people who have the spirit of faith say, I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not turning back. I'm not running to the world for answers. I'm running to my Father for answers. I'm running to Him. And even when He doesn't give answers that I think I deserve or think I should get, that's fine too, Lord. I trust You to give me the answers that I need to have. I trust You that You see the big picture when I don't. Because He sees all of eternity. He sees the whole past, the whole future, and the whole present all at one time. Faith says, I trust that, Father. I trust You. I trust You. I trust You. I trust You. and I'm never quitting on you. Those are the 10 characteristics of someone that has a spirit of faith. If you don't have them, develop them. If you have 8 of them, get the other 2. If you have all 10, feed on the word and grow it even bigger. Amen. Listen, every eye closed here and online, man, listen, this is no game in today's world. There's no mystery that there's evil in this world. It's in our face. It's all over the media. It's everywhere we look. It's just evil. But you know what? There's also good. God's goodness is everywhere we look. And he, right in the midst of darkness, man, his light shines. I know that I lived in darkness and I wanted, and I knew there had to be something better. I just didn't know what it was. But when I heard about Jesus, I said to myself, that's it. That's what I've been looking for. I'm tired of this merry-go-round. I'm tired of the masks I wear. I'm tired of the darkness I live in. I'm tired of this hole inside of me that I've tried to fill with everything and nothing satisfies. I was done with this world. I tasted what it had to offer, and it was exactly what the Word of God said. It was momentary pleasure. Felt good for a moment. It's just an empty hole. It's like a vacuum in space. Nothing satisfies, nothing fills until I met Jesus. And I met him as he's the Lord of my life. I surrendered my life to him. That's what he's offering you to do, that if you surrender your life as he surrendered his life to save you, if you surrender your life, he'll save you. Not only save you, but he'll give you a life. He'll give you real life. He'll teach you how to die to yourself and really live in this life and the next. The only way you can find out what you were created for is to go to the Creator. He's the only one. He's the only one that can save you, the only one that can change you, the only one that can show you. Only one that can save you. So if you've never prayed and you want to pray, let's pray right now. Or maybe you've prayed before and you've run away and you need to run home. Run home right now. So whether it's your first time or your next time, you need to pray online or here. In the count of 3 online, send us a message. I'm praying for the first time or the next time. In this room, raise your hand up high boldly and say, unashamedly, I'm going to get right with God tonight. Then put it down and we're all going to pray. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Just put your hands up here. Send those messages online. God bless you. Wow. That's incredible. You can put those hands down. God bless you all. Thank you. Thank you for responding to the call of God in your life. Let's all pray now, those online and those right now. Let's all pray together. Say this together. Say, God, I believe you are God and God alone. That you sent Jesus because you love us. You love me. He died for my sins. You raised him from the dead, and he's alive. I believe that. And because I do, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And I say to you, Jesus, you are the Lord Jesus Christ of my whole life. I lay down my life before you and surrender to you. Teach me now how to live for you, how to serve you, how to fulfill the purpose in which you created me. Until I see you in heaven, thank you for rescuing me. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for how good he is.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Church on the Move, like our service times, or how you can connect with us, you can visit cotmroswell.com.